Prologue. Saturday, 5th of July, 1862, Glasgow. It was a particularly bright but quiet morning on Anderston Quay, yet still too early for the day shift to begin their labours around the harbour. The sun was ascending leisurely above the tenement houses to the south and east of the Clyde, polishing away the gloom of the previous night and casting long shadowy fingers from a multitude of ships' masts that towered over the cobbled old wharf. Stately schooners grunted in sullen protest at their less wholesome neighbours as the river's brackish waters reached the ebb and nuzzled the wooden hulls against each other. Like a forest of elm trees in a winter wind, the tangle of spars and lines swayed to their own peculiar rhythm as the rooted vessels rode fretfully under their cabled restraints, murmuring their protests at the turning tide. Another sound approached from the north, soles of leather slapping against unyielding cobblestones, tripping a little unsteadily under the impatient progress of their mistress. The slight figure of a young woman, curiously hunched forward under a light grey woolen cloak, rounded the corner of Finiston Street and blinked against the sun's dramatic appearance. Jessie McLachlan stopped for a moment, her chest heaving with exertion and her mind tormented with emotion. She had almost half a mile still to go, and so far there had only been the distant view of a milk cart and a couple of last night's one-time revelers to cross her path. But now, down by the quayside, it could be a different matter. She must get home, out all night, and her three-year-old asleep on his own. Perhaps Mrs. Campbell would have seen to him? But what to say to her? She drew a deep breath and resumed her hurried journey. And here was another problem: her clothing. Her bonnet and cloak were the same ones she had left with last night, but the dress was not her own. It was a French merino in cinnamon, trimmed with blue velvet and pleated at the back, distinctively different from her own dark brown Coburg with the flounces. Surely someone would notice. Jessie's brain was seething with worry now, as she approached the Broomielaw and saw a crowd of workers from the last shift streaming toward her. Left into Washington Street then. A detour. She would have to risk it, as chances were one of the men would recognize her. The tall grey-brown sentinels of warehouses stood silent witness, like an array of tombstones either side of her path, while the frightened woman quickened her pace as best she could up the slight incline away from the river. What to do about the dress? And then there was the bundle she was clutching to her chest underneath the cloak. Was she to get rid of it the way the old man had said, or should she risk the pawnbroker? Jessie nearly stumbled and fell as a small brown dog sped out in front of her, barking hoarsely as it ran off down the hill toward the quay. She had nearly screamed, but what good was that? It was just a dog. She had witnessed some shocking scenes this night. She would never forget. She would never forgive. The small, frightened figure of Jessie McLachlan turned right at the top of the street and hurried on eastward, still clutching her precious bundle, and starting a chain of events that were to rattle through history long after she was dead.